Well, I'm really glad to be here, too. We've been praying a lot that God will speak to our hearts. God, you always know if you've spoke. God has already blessed me so greatly preparing to be here, and I just wanted to make sure my heart was prepared to share the beautiful Word of God. And tonight, I'm not going to share much about Alberta tonight, but I will definitely what some of the things that we're learning from His Word over there. But lately, I've been so blessed, and I would encourage you to do this. Tom Copeland, a guy, was my next-door neighbor in Melfort, Saskatchewan. He was beautifully born again. And last time I saw him, we were sitting at the back of the church, and he held up his Bible, and he couldn't even talk. He said, I used to read lots of books. When he became a Christian, he read lots of books, but he read lots of the Bible. He said, Jeff, I can't read any other book anymore. I'm spoiled. This book is alive, he said. And he's just growing. And I feel the same. I can't really read anything else anymore lately. I know it's good to read lots of books. But I'm at a season right now where I've been studying the Holy Spirit. And I went through the book of Acts and I marked a number in the margin every time I came to the Holy Spirit. And I got to 50. I might have missed. I never was that good in English when they told you to do that kind of stuff. But I was so excited about it. And I learned so much. And then I went in the book of John and I did the same thing. And I've been going over it and over it and over it. And I think we just need to look at it and say, what does it say? And tonight I've been so blessed by Peter. Peter has just blessed me. And tonight I hope he's going to give us all tremendous encouragement to pray. That's basically what I'm going to be speaking on, prayer and the Holy Spirit. And lots of other things, I'm sure, but the Bible. We're just going to look at the Bible, and let's just have fun, and just learn a little bit from Peter. I'm going to be jumping all over the place, but I just want to walk through his life. You know, it's just so good to go back to the simplicity. Sometimes when you lose something, it's good to go back to the beginning. And I think Peter is just one of the most beautiful guys to just step into his shoes. You know, let's just try to think what he would have been going through. He was just a young guy and they must have all been looking. It seemed like God was really putting it on the hearts of many that the Messiah was coming. And so he was told by his brother one day, I think I met the Messiah. And Peter was hungry for that. He was a hungry guy. I sort of want you to, if you're in the same place that Peter is, I think we're all hungry here. And Peter was so happy to hear that. And so he went with Andrew. And just before that, Andrew had heard John the Baptist say, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's one here whose shoes I can't even untie. He's so much higher than me. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Could you imagine? Like, we read the Bible, we have all of it, but to hear that, I could just only imagine. If I was, I read it now. I remember when I first became a Christian. What does that mean? And I don't want anybody to get, what's going to happen? In our prayer meetings, we have all sorts of people from all different denominations, and we've decided, you know what? We don't need to tell God what the baptism of the Holy Spirit means, or even each other, because we're praying to the one who does it. Why don't we just ask him, who knows what it means, to do this work in our own hearts? It takes away all sorts. We're not here to argue. We're here to find out, what does this book say? And I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, whatever God thinks that is. That's the great thing. You're praying to him. We sit and argue about everything. Why don't we just ask him, do whatever you have to do in my life to baptize me in your Holy Spirit. So I am certainly not an expert. I'm here to learn with you. And I think if we go forward, just taking the Bible before the Lord, it's beautiful. That's what we're really doing in those prayer times out there. Nobody's the boss or smarter or anything. We're just, God, please. We want whatever it is written in here for your glory. So could you imagine he's going to baptize, like immerse in the Holy Ghost? There was some in the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit, but I don't know if these guys were reading too much of that, but I'm sure they knew enough. But they were probably thinking, who is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? So this is what Peter heard at the beginning, right with John, right at the very beginning. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So now, you remember you read about Mary. She took all these things and pondered them in her heart. This burning heart of this young man, what does that mean? They were sometimes afraid to ask Jesus, and how could he have explained what it was? But there's one coming who's going to, and Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And he went and he told Peter, I think I found the Messiah. And then remember, he heard him say to Nathanael, I knew you when you were under the fig tree this afternoon. And Nathanael said, I was under the fig tree. How do you know I was under the fig tree? So already Peter's starting to realize this guy is something very special. I don't know when he, although we're going to get to one that really is beautiful. So Peter, now Jesus comes to him and says, leave your nets, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And he just left them. He was going with Jesus right off the bat. And many of us here, we want to go with Jesus. And then somehow he was still fishing. I don't know the timeline of the New Testament, where, you know, you read it all differently, but there was another time where he said, go out into the water or just pull out a little bit and I'm going to speak to all these people. And he spoke to all the people. And then he says, go out and Jesus wasn't a fisherman, he was a carpenter. And Peter was a good fisherman. He said, go out and let's go catch some. And Peter, no, this isn't the time to catch fish. But he knew enough of who he was. He said, nevertheless, at your word, we'll do exactly what you say. Already submitted to Jesus. And they went out, and then all of a sudden they caught all those fish. And I have said, I don't know how many times I've said this to God, and yet I'm hanging on to his leg. But he said, as he saw what he knew, this was God himself. Or I don't know if he knew yet, but he was wondering, I'm sure. He said, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. He saw somewhat of the holiness of this man, Jesus, God the Son. And he said, depart from me. He came under gripping conviction. And we all remember in our own lives, I remember the day that God saved me. And I didn't think he ever would or should save me. But I knew he saved me. And I don't know how many times I've said that to God. Depart from me, Lord, from a sinful man. But I know, I thank the Lord, he'd never depart from me. That's Peter. He had to ask the Lord a lot of times. He was impetuous. He'd put his foot in his mouth. But he'd also say some great things too. Like, who do men say I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right after that, get behind me, Satan. Because he didn't understand what was going on. You're not going to die. He was still thinking Jesus was going to be this powerful Messiah, because he is going to be a powerful Messiah. But he didn't understand the suffering Messiah yet. I mean, these guys are just in the middle of it. And so he made that mistake. Then we see, and this really, really encourages me. It's always funny when someone's mistakes encourage you because you make so many yourself. But he was selfish. He was mad at John and James for their mom and those two guys trying to get on. They knew for sure this was the Messiah. There was no question in their eyes. I want to be on your right and I want to be on your left. Now Peter's upset. They were just so selfish. Just like us. Perfect. Just like us. So Peter was selfish. He loved Jesus. And then when that tough teaching in John 6, where he's going to eat, like he's talking the spiritual eating and spiritual drinking, but the people didn't understand, and they're, what is this? You're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. What is that? And Peter probably didn't quite understand it either, but Jesus said, are you going to go too? Where in the world else would we go? You are the Son of God. We're not going anywhere. We're with you. We know you are who you say you are. And so he was fully devoted to him, and yet he was making lots of mistakes. He was afraid. He was selfish. He was impetuous. Oh, this one. This one always. I love this verse. When Jesus stood in that feast, and he said, If any man thirst, let him come to me. He'd already been at the well where that lady with the artesian well. If you come to me, you're going to have living water that you'll never have to drink again. Always taking this in. What does that mean? And then, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And then he says, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he concerning the Spirit. That to me, still, every time I read that, it makes me so hungry. I've met people. See, before I was saved and after I've been saved, I've met people who truly have rivers of the Holy Spirit flowing in their lives. There's some in this room. I won't say about them, but I'll say about one fellow, Pastor Bill McLeod. I remember many things that he taught. For 2 years, he discipled me, and after every he'd be done, I'd just cry. I couldn't believe the way the Bible would just come alive. But it was his life. He truly, you couldn't be in his presence for very long, and you realized there was rivers of living water, rivers of the Holy, and it made me want the Holy Spirit in my life. It humbled me, and I knew it wasn't him. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. But I saw a man that made me so thirsty. When I read that, rivers of living water flowing out of me, I know I need that in my life. But it's so wonderful to see the reality of it. And you want to be that in your community. And that's what we're really going to be talking about, is persevering through. But so now we see Peter, he hears this. If you believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He heard Jesus say it with his own mouth. But he didn't know what it meant. And then when he said that, when they kept saying, no, you can't die, you can't die. And Jesus says, I have to go. He's going to redeem the world, of course. But also he said, if I don't go, I can't send the Comforter to you. And when the Comforter comes, he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh man, have I experienced that in my life. The Holy Spirit, in that way, I have experienced him. Before I was saved, it was all I experienced for about a year. All I could think about was my sin. And I just saw the righteousness of Christ in so many people in my life, and I was convicted of hell constantly. So I know what that means. I know exactly what that means. Not exactly, I know very well what that means. I've experienced it. But there's Peter just listening to all this. And remember, he hadn't seen anything yet. But he was following. And he loved Jesus. And then it looked bad. It started looking bad. And I don't know how much he knew what was going on. Could you just put yourself in his shoes? Oh, remember this too? After Jesus got done praying, they said they'd all prayed before. But have you ever been with somebody like that? Somebody gets done praying and you realize, wow, I don't even think I know how to pray. Jesus was done praying and they said, would you teach us how to pray? Because it talked about Jesus praying with strong tears and crying to his Father. He was intimately fellowshipping with his Father. And when he was done, they said, please teach us how to pray. Then he gave us the most beautiful, we're going to talk a little bit about that another time, but the Lord's Prayer, beautiful. And then he says this. He tells the story about the guy, and we're going to definitely talk about this. The guy that his buddy came, that parable, his buddy came, and he didn't realize that he was coming, and he didn't have any food for him, so he said, oh, no. And so he goes to his neighbor's house and says, I need some bread. I have a friend that came in a long journey, and I need to give him some bread. And the guy says, no, I'm in bed. It's cold. I'm warm in my bed, and I'm not getting up to give you any bread. And the guy says, well, I'm not going to stop knocking on this door till you give me the bread. And so he keeps knocking, and it says he didn't give him the bread because he was his friend, but he gave it to him because of his. He kept knocking. He's never going to stop knocking. And so the guy finally, oh man, this guy's not going to stop knocking. I'll get up and give him as much bread as he wants. And he goes and gives it to him. And then he says to him, ask and it shall be given to you. Or seek and you shall find. It literally, in their language, it means keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking, and the door will be opened. And then he tells, you know, the story of if any of you fathers, if your kid asked you for a piece of bread, I think it's a snake. Wouldn't give him a snake, of course. And if he asked for an egg, it wouldn't give him a scorpion. And what was the other one? Fish. And I might have got it a bit mixed up, but you know the whole thing here. And then he says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he heard that. And he's got all this in his mind, in his heart, burning in his heart. And then, obviously, things start looking in his own eyes bad. And he wants to, when he's told, every one of you guys is going to betray me. That's us. In our own hearts, there's no way I'd leave you, Lord. Everybody else might leave you, but I won't. And then he does. He leaves him. And not only does he do that, but he told him that three times he'd deny him before the rooster crowed. And the third time he does, and then somehow he sees Jesus. He was scared of a little girl twice. And he denies it right to the point of cursing. And it proves his own heart. Like, this really speaks to me as he wept bitterly. That's us. He wanted so bad to follow him, and he loved Jesus, and he was with him. But in his own strength, he couldn't do it. He wept bitterly. And then Jesus, I love this part, when he rose again, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. He'd be just like me or you. I don't even deserve to go see him now. But he knew he might think that way, and he said, go tell Peter to come. And he did. And then he even has that intimate time with Peter do you love me? And it was a bit of a rebuke. I don't know. I'm not even going to say. He just said it three times. God only knows, I guess. But he denied him three times, and he said, if you love me, Peter, feed my sheep and then feed my lambs. And so he knew that was very dear to his Savior, the lambs and the sheep. But still, he sees him risen from the dead. Like, I'm sure those 3 days, no one can understand what they must have been going through. And then when he rose from the dead and he sees him alive, that must have been unbelievable. Well, believable, but amazing. Jesus was walked right in and showed them. And then he taught them for a while and on the road to Emmaus there, and then at the end when about the feed my sheep before Jesus went back up to heaven, feed my sheep, Peter. He's just given his really close friend that special, if you love me, then feed them. And Peter was kind of hurt a bit by it, and then he finds out that then God says you're going to die a violent death. And he's not sure he likes that, and so he brings John into the situation. But he's just like us. But all this time, God has got his hand on that young man. And Jesus really loves him. He loves them all. And then this is the most exciting one. Right before Jesus goes up to heaven, this is what we got to remember. This, we get so mixed up and so complicated. And I just really want this. I'm only simple, and that's what we're going to talk about. But this is very, and it's very powerful. Simple and powerful. But this is what he said to them before he left in Luke 24. I'll just maybe start at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He is the full fulfillment of the law. He never came to condemn the law, he came to fulfill it, and he did. And he showed them the Old Testament and all the scriptures of himself. Just wouldn't that have been something to be in that teaching, like getting that kind of teaching. I could just see Peter. This is amazing. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's what the Holy, you read in John, that's what the Holy Spirit, he does that. He opens up this book. Oh, he can, this book is so powerful when he wields this sword. Like, we're going to find, we'll get there. I'm jumping ahead here. But he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's what it was all about. It was all there, and that's what he did. Now, looking back, they can totally see this. And that this is so key here. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That is simple. That's the job of the church. We somehow have strayed from that one. But right at the very beginning, this is what they were supposed to do. And there is no way this group of guys could do this. Like, we've already said, they're selfish. They're scared. They all ran scared. They're impetuous. They're weak. They're just like us. They're weak. Uneducated. They know they're unlearned men. There's no way these guys are going to do this. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Repentance, turning from our sin to God. Like, that's what did Paul preach? He preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. John Sung, you might have heard of John Sung. He was a flaming evangelist in China. And he was called to be an evangelist. And he went to the United States to learn to be a better leader, Christian leader. So he went to the United States and they realized this young man was probably the most brilliant mind in the world, possibly one of the most brilliant minds in the world. And they said, what are you doing learning theology? You have a scientific mind that's unbelievable. And he made all these awards and won things, and he was just a genius. And then one day he was in the United States gaining accolades, and he heard, what doest thou here, Elijah? Like Pastor McLeod always told me, he said, Jeff, if God's called you to be a pastor, don't fall back and become the Prime Minister of Canada. And this guy was called to reach China for Christ. And here he was just being pumped by the world. And he said, I just said, I'm done. And he went straight back to China. And halfway across the ocean, he threw every award he had out over the side. He came back just a humble man of God. And he won much of China to Christ. They said, no one could keep up with him. And you know what the thing that they said, the most thing said about John Sung was, he preached so that any eight-year-old could understand his message. It's not a very complicated message. Repentance and remission of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. How have we made it so complicated? But the thing is, without the power, we got to do other stuff. But here, he says, this is what you're supposed to do. You're going to start in Jerusalem. And they didn't know it, but there's going to be the Holy Spirit is going to be introduced. God himself in this. I don't even want to, we'll just read it. Like, it's just, you know, I'm not going to try to explain. That ruins it. But that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. You've seen it. You've seen me risen from the dead. And behold, here's the key to everything. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. This is how they're going to do it. Remember, he heard that at the beginning. He heard that now. I mean, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Whatever that means. I'm not here to tell you what that means. But it sounds real good. Immersed in the Holy Spirit. But and behold, I send the promise of my Father, and but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he said there, before Pentecost, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me, starting at Jerusalem. So they knew there was a promise right out of Luke 11, that same when he taught them how to pray. That's the promise. That is, if you being evil know how to get, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that asked him? And they were just to keep on asking. They went into the upper room. We'd have no idea what they did. But I think as we pray, we understand a bit more what they were doing. God begins to work on us. And that's what I want to talk about the rest of this time, is how God works on us. How God prepares us. But they went into that upper room. And at Pentecost, does that mean it was 50 days after the Passover, Pentecost? I don't know how many days it was. It was quite a few days. 50 days? 50 days. I would have loved it. Wouldn't that have been something to be up in that room? But God was transforming those guys, and then all of a sudden, the promise came. And this guy, who was just a normal Joe, he was a fisherman, hardworking guy, loved Jesus, wanted to follow him, made lots of mistakes, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Whatever it means, it was him. It happened to him. It says that. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were, and John and I were talking about this there too. They had to look for guys. They were supposed to look for guys that were filled with the Holy Spirit. So obviously you could tell pretty easily when someone's filled with God himself, over, like rivers of living water flowing through their life, you should be able to pick one of those guys out. But what we do, instead of asking God to change us and fill us, we change the Bible. But I say we just read it. It says that he'll do that. We're going to get to that in a moment. But they went into the upper room and waited for this beautiful promise. And God sent the promise. Not only did he fill these guys with the Holy Spirit, but he poured his Spirit on Jerusalem. Again, I'm not teaching you anything. I'm just saying what it says. They were filled or baptized or filled. I don't understand what it just, that's what it says. They were filled and they had power. They had boldness. Peter just basically shared a little bit from the Psalms and from Joel, and God's Spirit convicted, cut every single person in that place to the heart. And he told them, you basically killed the Messiah you've been looking for. Before, when he ran away from a little girl, now he told all these guys that could do the same thing to him easily, he told them, you killed the Messiah, but there's hope. And he gave them a beautiful message. And 3,000 people were born again. They were cut to the heart. They stopped them and said, sirs, what do we do? That's the Holy Spirit. If you've been involved in evangelism and you're trying to get somebody's arm up their back to say a little prayer, that I remember thinking, how could this be God? This is Jeff. I'm trying to talk this guy into, and then I've seen it where God grips people and they're chasing you. How do I get saved? It's sure better when the Holy Spirit does it than when I do it. Like the guy said to, forget what preacher it was, but there was a guy lying in the gutter, and he said, isn't that one of your converts? And he said, yes, definitely that's one of my converts, because one of God's converts wouldn't be in there. Not saying that people can't trip and fall, but you know what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit can work more than we can work just in a few moments. And that's what happened. It just simply happened. They prayed. God sent his Spirit, and then 3,000 and more, and it said daily they were added to the church. God touched those men up in that upper room. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and out of Joel it says that he'll pour out his Spirit, and he poured out, whatever that means, he poured out his Spirit on Jerusalem, and the results, like he said about the wind. You can't tell. You know when a hurricane goes through, you might not have seen the wind itself, but you know what happened. And when the Holy Spirit of God is poured out, and I have experienced that in small amounts where you see, wow, an area that is being saturated by God and people start thinking about God. People come under conviction. It's the most beautiful thing that can ever happen to an area. And that's my prayer for each one of us here, is that each one of us is going to just be like Peter. We're going to take the word, and we're going to go home, we're going to believe it just what it says. And we're going to get other people around us. And we're going to pray like the guy banging on the door. God, we have to have this promise. The only hope for Canada is this promise. And it can happen in every community. God's looking. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Not perfect hearts. Peter had a perfect heart toward God. He did not have a perfect heart. He even later had to get rebuked by Paul, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter, what are you doing? Why are you going back to the ways of the Pharisees here and back to the having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? What are you doing, Peter? And Peter was humble enough. You just love Peter. He took it. That shows a wise, godly man. He took it well. But that's what we need. We don't need more programs. We don't need more polished preachers. Those are all good things. We need to get on our knees and see. You know, I've read about so many revivals. And you read of ships sailing into the New York Harbor and coming into the present. They said the only way they could explain it, these godless sailors who didn't even think about God, sailing into the harbor, and they said that it was as though they sailed into the presence of God, and they were so under conviction, they were all lying on and there had to be a pastor brought onto the ship. They wouldn't even leave the ship until someone came and each one of them was born again. When you sail into the presence of God, you don't even understand that. You read it and you go, God, do we want to see that? But God tells us that this promise is for them and to as many as are far off. And that's us. We're more in the latter days. It says, in the latter days, God will pour his Spirit upon all flesh. And I just believe what we need to do. All the other things are fine. And I see pastors now around Red Deer and Lacombe and Sylvan Lake. They are praying like this. Other businessmen that I know, there's a lot of people praying and believing God, and we're having touches of God's Spirit and God's power. But we want to see showers. And I really believe what God has put on the hearts of many here and on my own heart is I'm just praying for God to raise up men in every community across all of Canada that will just, what God said to Peter, would do this. This is really the program that God has. Come together in one accord. All it says is they were in one accord and in prayer. And we're going to talk much more about this. But I would ask you to pray about this. That ask God to speak to you and go back to your community believing God for this promise. Finding other men to believe God with you. You see, what he said there was perseverance. It'll cost you everything. But you want to be a channel for the Spirit of God to flow into your city. What your city needs is the Spirit of the living God to be poured or to be manifested in your community. And he can work through people, it seems to me, if rivers of living water. I'm not going to tell you. I don't know. I'm right here. We're all just together. What does it mean, rivers of living water? I think it means rivers of living water. We don't need to change it. Let's just ask God to change us, to make us a channel for rivers of living water. And you get people together with you with the same heart, and you pray through, and he will deal with you. He'll show you things. He said he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I think I know what that means, fire, that refiner's fire. I don't know, but I've experienced things that sure makes me think that way. But that's the beauty. You come and you say, we don't know everything, God. We're coming before you humbly. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then he hears and forgives and heals. So you don't want to come with all the answers, but you come with a hungry heart like Peter, believing the promise by faith, and persevering through even no matter what it costs you. Like I always remember Gerard Dutoit saying, it'll cost you everything. But if we don't pray through, it'll cost us a lot more. And we're seeing the cost in Canada. So let's just pray, God, make my community one that will bring glory and honor to you by your Holy Spirit working through people and whatever you mean by pouring out your Spirit upon our community. That's what your community needs. It's not going to be through politics. It's not going to be through... The church is the most powerful organism in the world. But if it's sleeping, it's weak. But if that sleeping giant stands up by the power of the Holy Spirit, places will be transformed. We're starting to see things that are really neat But we want to see so much more. And if you live in a community, just believe God for your community. Get some other guys that are hungry together with you. That's the greatest thing that could ever happen to a community, is if two or three or four men will, what we're going to be talking about, this kind of prayer meetings, I don't think they should be mixed. There's just stuff that should not be shared in that kind of, if you really want to go all the way with God. But your community needs, and God's looking. They need the Spirit of the living God to be poured into their community. So that's what we're going to talk about. I just hope that Peter could get us hungry and thirsty for this. And I would just encourage you. John Knox, if you ever read his life story, he asked God for Scotland, and God gave it to him. But it was costly. Oh, man, that poor guy. But if you're willing to go back to your community and say, whatever it costs, Lord, we want to see a powerful outpouring of your Holy Spirit, and I want to see rivers flowing through my own life. And you know what's so neat? Is when you get together with other guys, I think this is so key, is that, like just this last week, I came to the prayer meeting just before when I came here, and I'll close with this. And I was tired, and I was just thinking, oh man, I don't have much, Lord, to give. And I went to a prayer meeting, and I came in discouraged, and I left just so touched by God and empowered. And those guys said they were going to pray, and they prayed for me. There's been other times where other guys have come into those prayer meetings. A lot of these guys are pastors, and they come in discouraged, and they leave touched. And I can tell you, some of those guys are just filled with the Holy Spirit. And it does something. There's leaven. There's bad leaven and there's good leaven. But you see somebody who's filled with the Spirit of God, and it touches you. So we're just going to continue talking about this, but I wanted tonight for us to be just a little bit made thirsty by Peter. And we could kind of follow in his steps, because he's just like us. That's why I like him so much. Paul was a genius, but he humbled himself and became a servant. He became like nothing. Peter didn't have to work at it. He was already there. And that's more like me. But God can use Peter's, and he can use Paul's, and he can use John's, and he can use any of us. But it's just, he needs a clean channel to flow through. So I'm just going to pray for us, that God will just take these talks, and if I say something and you think, oh man, that's not even biblical, you got to show me in the Bible if it's not. But because we're just here together, we want to learn. So you certainly should show me if it's not in the Bible. I'd love to hear that, because I'm trying to learn myself and I really am wanting to know. Dear God, we just come before you and we read your Bible and it makes us so excited. We read history and it makes us so excited. That beautiful history there in Jerusalem, what an amazing thing. We just get hungry when we read that. Your name was so glorified. So many souls came into your kingdom during that time, and many, 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 many times since, where your Spirit was poured out, where your Spirit flowed through men and women. Lord, we're asking you to do the same thing in Canada. Lord, we need a touch from you. We don't know anything, Lord. We're just coming before you, and we need you to help us. We're coming humbly before you and asking you to do this, what you did here in our country, in our towns. You said to start in Jerusalem, right where we live. That's where we want to see your power. We don't just want a little frizz and it's gone. We want to see a real work of yours, that everyone would know, like you said in your word, that men would know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. If you were to pour out your Spirit, everyone would know that you are God. You're the Almighty God. So God, we're looking to you. You said you'd convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and that is exactly what our communities need. We pray with Isaiah, oh, that thou would rend the heavens, thou wouldst come down, that the mountains of pride would just flow down at your presence. Lord, the world needs to see you. If you were to manifest your presence in our communities, it could never be the same. God, we don't understand it all, but we do read it, and it sounds wonderful. But Lord, make it real. And we pray that you'd begin with us, and it seems that you always begin with prayer. You always begin with brokenness and humility. So God, just lead and guide us over this weekend so that we can go back home, and Lord, just give us a fire in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.